is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting Iranian reformers make big electoral gains. Reformists and moderates appear to have taken all 30 parliamentary seats in the city of Tehran. That, according to unofficial election results announced Sunday, marking a resounding vote of confidence in President Hassan Rouhani, who presided over last year's nuclear agreement. Alam Payind is a regional analyst at Ohio State University.
It's really stunning that 30 seats of Tehran, they were all won by the people that who are allies of Hassan Rouhani, the president of Iran. Now it is clear that parliament defeated those that who were conservatives and did not want to open up Iran's relationship with the West.
Mr. Rouhani and former President Akbar Hashemi Rafsanjani also are leading the race for membership in the Assembly of Experts. The influential body monitors the work of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who has final say on Iran's foreign policy and could choose the next Supreme Leader. While losing seats in the capital, more conservative members appear to be holding their ground in other major cities and rural areas of Iran. Final results from Friday's vote are expected later Monday. Two huge explosions Sunday rocked the center of the Somali town of Baidoa, 245 kilometers west of Mogadishu, killing at least 13 people. There was no immediate claim of responsibility, but the militant Islamist group Al-Shabaab has taken responsibility for similar attacks in the country. The explosions come just 2 days after two massive blasts killed 25 in the capital and wounded nearly 60. Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for those attacks. Meanwhile, Somali President Hassan Sheikh Mohammed has called on leaders at a security summit to commence offensive operations under the banner of the African Union against Al-Shabaab. This is VOA News. A delicate ceasefire in Syria between military forces, opposition fighters, and external supporters remained in effect for a second day Sunday, despite repeated claims of breaches from both sides. It's a welcome development, says regional analyst Amin Saikal of Australian National University.
We will now really have to watch how the ceasefire is going to be translated into something long-term, which could really open the way for negotiations between the Assad regime and opposition forces.
Russia blamed Turkey for several violations since the truce began early Saturday. State media in Syria claimed terror groups fired mortars from hills close to the Turkish border into rural areas of the country's coastal Latakia province. A senior Saudi official, in turn, alleged Syrian and Russian forces committed ceasefire violations. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said at least six villages were targeted in strikes. Islamic State militants launched suicide attacks in two locations near Baghdad Sunday, killing more than 70, wounding dozens more. The deadliest attack was a double bombing in the eastern Shia suburb of Sadr City, killing at least 59. Earlier, militants attacked Iraqi security forces in Abu Ghraib, west of the capital, killing at least 12 security force and paramilitary personnel. The Greek migration minister has warned the number of refugees and migrants trapped in his country could reach 70,000 in coming weeks. Thousands flowed into the country have been prevented from crossing borders in the Balkan countries. Many, including this man from Syria, are awaiting developments in makeshift camps.
We want to get out. We want to go. We want to pass this port. We have a big trouble. We came from Syria. We are since 10 days just trying to be safe.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel says Greece cannot be allowed to fall into chaos after several EU bailouts as a result of its debt crisis. Meanwhile, Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban criticized what he called the European Union's failure to come to grips with the migrant crisis. Voters in Switzerland have rejected a proposal to automatically deport foreign residents convicted of even minor crimes. The initiative put forward by the Swiss People's Party was rejected Sunday by 59% of the votes. A British nurse who had been hospitalized last week in London for a third time since contracting Ebola in Sierra Leone was released from the Royal Free Hospital. Pauline Kafferke, who became infected with the deadly virus in 2014, has received treatment for meningitis as recently as last October. Japan's industrial output rose more than 3% in January, although it comes at a time of global uncertainty about growth and export demand. 3.7% rise in Japanese output compares with December's 1.7% drop. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.